This morning's scripture is the last chapter of Habakkuk chapter 3. You can follow along in your Bibles, or you can follow along up here on the screen or the wall as well. A prayer of Habakkuk, the prophet. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. His glory covered the heavens, and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled, and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan in distress, the dwellings of Midian in anguish. Were you angry with the rivers, O Lord? Was your wrath against the streams? Did you rage against the sea when you rode with your horses and your victorious chariots? You uncovered your bow. You called for many arrows. You split the earth with rivers. The mountains saw you and writhed. Torrents of water swept by. The deep roared and lifted its waves on high. Sun and moon stood still in the heavens at the glint of your flying arrows, at the lightning of your flashing spear. In wrath you strode through the earth, and in anger you threshed the nations. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. I heard, and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones, and my legs trembled. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nation invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the oil crop fails, and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. And it ends with the direction that this is for the director of music on my stringed instruments. This is God's word for us this morning. I've often said that when a person goes through a great hardship, when they experience a painful loss or a deep hurt of some kind, maybe a betrayal, a sudden death, a life-threatening illness, financial collapse, a wayward child, a loss of a job. I've often said that during those times, you will not stay put spiritually. You're going to either run to God or you're going to run from God. But you're not going to stay where you were. Now, as a pastor, I have the privilege of talking with people who are going through these sort of things and hear their hearts and try to help them process what has happened. What's going on in them? Where is God in all of this? I remember one woman telling me that she was angry with God for, as she put it, taking my husband from me. She believed God had done her wrong, and it caused a great anger to boil inside of her to the point that she didn't really want anything to do with God. She was clearly running from God. Now, I talked to others who run in just the opposite direction, including some of you sitting in the service today. I think of one woman who said to me that God had been her strength in the weeks and months following the death of her husband. She had turned to him in a new way, praying to him more and more in her grief, receiving the comfort of God's Spirit through the promises found in God's Word. She was clearly running to God. Now, friends, I don't know where you are today. I don't know what is happening in your life today, but I know this. Everyone is either coming out of a painful experience, is in the midst of a painful experience, or will soon be in a painful experience. And when the pain comes, what will you do? Will you run to God or will you run from God? Now, sometimes we don't know what we're going to do until it actually happens. We think we'll do one thing. We think, surely I'm going to run to God. But some don't. And how do you know that won't be you? I don't know if you will run to God or from God, but I know what you won't do. Spiritually, you won't stay put. You won't stay where you are. And this is true for every single person and every single place and every single time, including Habakkuk in Judah 2,600 years ago. The prophet Habakkuk actually was experiencing a double pain. First, he was angry and upset that he lived in a culture of greed and immorality, deception, hatred, injustice, hypocrisy, and oppression. Innocent people were being killed by the rich and powerful. People were worshiping gods of their own making, forsaking the one true God. And this wasn't among heathen people. This was in Judah, among God's people, the people that God revealed himself to, that God gave the law to. These are the people God made a covenant with. They were the ones engaging in injustice and oppression, rejecting God's law and rejecting God himself. And the pain of living in a society that should know better, obviously, but still engage in those sort of things is heard in Habakkuk's cry to God in the very opening verses of this book. How long, O Lord, must I cry and must I call for help, but you don't listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save? Why do you make me look at injustice? Why do you tolerate wrong? Now, that was Habakkuk's first pain. But it wasn't his last, because on top of that pain, the prophet experienced the pain of God not answering his prayers like he wanted him to, as he expected God to. In God's response to Habakkuk's cry, God tells him that, yeah, he too is angry and frustrated with all the evil that his people are doing and have been doing generation after generation, and that he's about to do something about it. He is about to allow the Empire of Babylon to destroy the nation of Judah, to level Jerusalem, kill many people, and send the rest of the people into exile. I cannot imagine the terror that must have entered into Habakkuk's heart when he heard God's response. Listen to the prophet's own description of his physical reaction to this news in verse 16 of chapter 3. I heard and my heart pounded. My lips quivered at the sound. Decay crept into my bones. My legs trembled. Here was terror and pain upon pain. And as we have said, when you experience pains like this, the pains of life, spiritually, you're not going to stay put. You're either going to run to God or you're going to run from God. Now, if we're honest, I think we can see that the double pain the prophet experienced is nowhere near the pain we've gone through. And that's not to take away from the pain you have or are experiencing. I get it. Pain is pain. But none of us have ever worried about another nation coming in and wiping out the USA, destroying everything we know, killing people you know and love, exiling you to some foreign country like Canada. All right? We haven't ever worried about that. Thus, knowing what the prophet was going through, I think we would understand if Habakkuk decided to run from God in his pain, to put God out of mind, to stew in his anger and bitterness toward God. And yet, by the end of the book of Habakkuk, we see the prophet go from anger and confusion and frustration in chapter 1 to writing a song of praise to God, exalting him in the third and last chapter of the book. He writes in chapter 3, verse 2, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. O Lord, renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. Verses 16 through 18. Yet I will wait patiently for the day of calamity to come on the nations invading us. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Clearly Habakkuk is running to God in his pain. He did not run from God. But was this just sheer luck? Was Habakkuk just more blessed than us, blessed than others? Was Habakkuk able to do this because he was a prophet of God? Well, actually, to that last question, we can give a hard no to that. Because we have another prophet named Jonah. Jonah literally ran from God. He tried, at least. So just because he was a prophet did not make him more prone to run to God or from God. What can we learn from Habakkuk that can help us be more likely to run to God in our time of pain? Well, there are three things from our passage today that I think that can help us understand how Habakkuk was able to run to God in his pain. Three truths that can make it more likely for us to run to God in our pain as well. And here are those three things, these three truths. First truth, God saves. Second truth, God is sovereign. And third truth, God strengthens. God saves, God is sovereign, and God strengthens. Knowing these truths, in fact, actually more than knowing, but rejoicing in these truths, now will make it much more likely that you will run to God in your future pain. Knowing these truths, rejoicing in these truths now, can help you stop running from God and start running back to God in your present pain as well. In fact, I'm going to go a step further. Each of these truths can actually lead us to a specific action that will help us keep close to God. Three truths that give rise to three actions that will help us to run to God in the time of our need. And those three actions are perspective, patience, and praise. Perspective, patience, and praise. So we're going to look at each of these truths and see how each of these truths give rise to these actions that will keep us close to God and help us to run to God when our time of pain comes. So let's start with the first truth. God saves. Listen again to verses 17 and 18. Though the fig tree does not bud, there are no grapes on the vines. Though the olive crop fails, the fields produce no food. Though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Notice that Habakkuk says specifically that he will be joyful not just in God in general, but he's going to be joyful in God my Savior. The fact that he refers to God as my Savior springs from all that he writes in chapter 3. In verses 3 through 15, the prophet is remembering God's great acts of salvation in Israel's history. Specifically, God saving his people out of Egypt, out of the hand of Pharaoh. God's works of delivering his people from the other nations of the ancient Near East at the time. Listen to how God is described, what God did for Israel in their pain in verses 3 through 7. It says, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran. This is kind of the Sinai area, Mount Sinai. His glory covered the heavens and his praise filled the earth. His splendor was like the sunrise. Rays flashed from his hand where his power was hidden. Plague went before him. Pestilence followed his steps. He stood and shook the earth. He looked and made the nations tremble. The ancient mountains crumbled and the age-old hills collapsed. His ways are eternal. I saw the tents of Cushan, that's another country, in distress. The dwellings of Midian, another country, in anguish. So God showed up. The world took notice. The nations took notice. Listen to how the prophet reminded himself of who God is and what God can do and what God has done in the past, how he has saved them in the past. In verses 13 through 15, Habakkuk writes this. You came out to deliver your people, to save your anointed one. You crushed the leader of the land of wickedness. You stripped him from head to foot. With his own spear, you pierced his head when his warriors stormed out to scatter us, gloating as though about to devour the wretched who were in hiding. You trampled the sea with your horses, churning the great waters. And I was talking about the parting of the Red Sea and the Exodus event. Now, why is Habakkuk remembering these things? What does that have to do with his day and time? That's thousands of years ago. This brings us to one of the overarching actions that the book of Habakkuk calls us to. The prophet is remembering God's past saving action to help him gain a current perspective. A perspective in his current confusion. Friends, when we struggle with not understanding what God is doing around us or why something's happening to us, that is when we need perspective. We need more than anything to remember not only that God saves in general, but that God saves us. that God is your Savior, God is my Savior. So Habakkuk remembers all that God has done for his people to help him realize that even though he is and will be going through a time of pain very soon, this does not mean that God is against him or that God has abandoned him. And this is what we should do when we go through our pain. We need to remember, need to be mindful of the truth that God is my Savior. You need to remember that God has been there for you in your life. How God has been your help in ages past. How God has blessed you and strengthened you in your past pain. And here's why it's so important to have perspective. To remember God's saving acts in your pain. Because it usually takes time, a lot of time, to go through something and have an idea of, oh, I see, God, why I went through this. I see what you were doing. And sometimes we don't ever find out. We won't find out this side of heaven. And yet, even those times where we don't find out, we don't have answers to our questions, we can see still how God was there strengthening us and helping us, enabling us to continue, even though we are going through some awful pains. Remembering how God was there for us in the past can give us assurance in the present that even though it feels like God is not there, He really is. He is there for us today as He was there for us in the past, as He will be there for us tomorrow, even if we don't recognize and feel His presence. And beyond remembering how God has stepped in to be there for us in our past pain, we also need to reflect on an even greater truth of how God stepped in and took care of our ultimate pain. The pain of a disrupted relationship with God. The pain of a distorted desire to look out for ourselves first and foremost rather than seeking God or the good of others. Through trusting in Jesus' death and resurrection on our behalf, God has literally become our Savior. He has saved us, and that will never change. You are now His forever, no matter how you feel, no matter what you go through. And knowing that, remembering that, will give you some much-needed perspective. So that's the first truth to know from our passage today. God saves, and that can give us perspective. Second, God is not only our Savior, but God is sovereign. Listen to verse 19, our last verse of Habakkuk. It simply says, "The sovereign Lord is my strength." Now, what does that mean? What does it mean that God is sovereign? God's sovereignty is God's activity where He sustains and preserves and governs all of His creatures, all of creation, and guides all events toward their appointed ends that He has willed. Basically, it's the truth that God is in control even when your life is out of control and feels completely uncontrollable. For Habakkuk, this means knowing that even though life is about to get really, really bad for him when the Babylonians invade Judah, God is still in control. That even this is under God's power and under God's control. That God is allowing this pain to happen for a time and for a purpose. Now I get it. When we go through our pain, it seems as if God could have no reason to allow us to feel the pain that we're feeling. No reason. And I get that. But you realize the flip side to that is even worse. Imagine for a moment there actually is no God. What then of your pain? Does that change your pain? No. You still feel your pain. But it's even worse. Because if there is no God, then that means that there is absolutely also no point to your pain at all. No reason for it. No purpose for it. No, just plain pain. And only pain. But with God, you have the hope that the pain you feel is part of something bigger. Something that you may not see now or may even see in your lifetime. But you can have the confidence that God does not allow us just to go through pain for pain's sake. That's not the way our Father works. There's always a greater purpose and plan. And knowing that, knowing this second truth, that God is sovereign, can bring about a much needed action in our pain. And that is patience. Patience. When we are overwhelmed with our circumstances, when we are unable to stand what God is doing, where God is in all of this, one of the best things we can do is simply just wait on the Lord to exercise patience. This is another overarching action that we find in Habakkuk as well, in chapters 1 and 2. Now, it's not a natural thing to practice patience, but Patience is really a decision. It's a decision of the will to say to God, God, I actually don't know everything. I actually don't know how everything should go. I don't know all that you have planned. So I'm going to trust you. Patience is trusting that God is actually sovereign, that he is in control, even when life looks and feels out of control and uncontrollable. Thus, the more we know and realize the sovereignty of God, that God is in control when life is out of control, the more we can practice patience in our pain. Well, that's the second truth and the second action. God is sovereign, and knowing that will help us be patient. And that brings us to the third truth this morning, that God strengthens. Listen to the last verse again, verse 19. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to go on the heights. I love how God's strengthening is illustrated in this verse. He's compared to a deer that is able to climb a mountain. And it reminded me of this nature video. I'm going to show you a clip of it. This is an ibex, and it's obviously not climbing a mountain. This is a man-made dam. But look at that. Look at that. That's incredible. Now, that's an adult one, and they're about to show a younger one who's doing it too. There we go. I mean, this is insane that they're able to climb this. Oh. That's what we're looking at. There it is, right there. Every step for the ibex has to be just right to navigate this dangerous terrain, or it's going to fall. And this is no different for us when we have to navigate our time of pain. We need God to enable us, to strengthen us, so that we don't slip and fall. But how does God do that? Does God just zap us with strength? Not usually, actually. Instead, the way God strengthens us and enables us, keeps us from slipping and falling, is by what we've been talking about. It's by helping us remember, reminding us that he is God, that he is our Savior. He's been there for us in the past. He'll be there for us in the future. And he's there for us now in Jesus. It's also by remembering that God is sovereign, that he's in control when life feels out of control. Now, remembering these truths will help us have patience and perspective. And perspective and patience will give you the strength you need. It will give you the peace and power you need to keep from falling, to keep from slipping, to keep from running from God. But in addition, there is something else I think comes along with experiencing this strengthening from God. A third action that arises from this third truth. Knowing and experiencing God's strength will help us praise him. It's kind of like what Tyler was talking about there. He saw all these people being strengthened with God's Spirit and praising God, and it just caused them to praise God, right? Now, as we think about the whole book of Habakkuk, we remember at the beginning of the book, the prophet is angry. He's confused over the injustice around him and the fact that Babylon's about to destroy them. And so what does he do? He cries out to God. And what does God do? God answers him. Reminds Habakkuk, he is sovereign. He's in control. Everything's under his power. And just as he saved his people in the past, he's going to save them again. He tells Habakkuk, the righteous will live by faith. That's what we looked at last week. The righteous will live by faith, meaning that they will practice patience and perspective, trusting in God's sovereignty and saving power. That's what it means that the righteous will live by faith. That's the first two chapters of Habakkuk. But look how the book ends, this third chapter. In fact, look at the very last verse here. Remember? For the director of music, on my stringed instruments. This is a reminder that Habakkuk ends this book with a song of praise to God. A prayer praising and exalting God. The prophet begins in anger and confusion, but now after turning to God, after hearing the word of God, after being reminded that God is his Savior, that God is sovereign, he's able to write what may be two of the most beautiful, profound, and amazing verses in the whole Bible. And we've already looked at them several times today. Verses 17 and 18. Listen to this again. And if you're a farmer, this should really resonate, all right? Though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails, and the fields produce no food, the corn doesn't grow, the wheat doesn't grow, the soybeans don't grow, the teff doesn't grow, though there are no sheep in the pen because Chauncey forgot to shut the gate, That probably hits a little too close to home. Sorry about that. No cattle in the stalls. Basically, the prophet saying, though I lose everything I love, everything that I find my security in, everything that gives me my wealth, everything I find my identity in, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Now, from a human perspective, this makes absolutely no sense at all, which is why we so desperately need God's perspective when we go through our pain. This is why we need to remember, remind of these three truths, that God saves, that God is sovereign, God strengthens, over and over again. And only as these truths go deep into us will we have the proper perspective, will we be able to practice patience and do the unthinkable from a human perspective, experience actual peace and joy, and even the ability to praise God in the midst of our pain. These three truths, God saves, God is sovereign, and God strengthens, and these three actions that flow from these three truths, perspective, patience, and praise, this is how you put your soul in a good place, so that when the pain does come, which it will, you are more likely to run to God rather than run from God. This is how you will be able to say, though the fig tree does not bud, and there are no grapes on the vines, though the olive crop fails and the fields produce no food, though there are no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, that is a supernatural thing that we just read. There is no way in our own power that we can experience that kind of loss and turn around and say, yet I will rejoice in God. But as a Christian, we are only able to do that because we know all of the things that are most important, most ultimate for our reality, our existence, our meaning, our lives is found in you. And because of that, it can never be taken away. It's just like Jesus said, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. That's what Habakkuk was doing. He was storing up treasures in heaven which can never be lost or stolen or rusted or perish. But all the stuff of this earth can. And obviously that happened to your people. And it happens to your people today as well. I pray that even now we would put our hearts in a place where we find our ultimate glory, our ultimate satisfaction in you and you alone. Not diminishing all the other wonderful stuff you've given us. Those are good things to rejoice in. Father, they become the ultimate things in our lives, the things that provide us meaning and provide us our sense of identity and our source of esteem. It's going to be really hard to turn to you when we lose those things. So, Father, for anyone going through this pain today, I pray that they would remember that you are their Savior, that you are sovereign, and that you will strengthen them if they turn to you. And may we have this perspective. May we practice patience, and may we turn to you in all this to be able to praise you, knowing that no matter what happens, you are still worthy of our praise. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Our final hymn this morning.